All right, we have been in a series that I've been teaching called Fruit Inspection. And I want to continue in that today, the fruit of peace in our lives.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
How about we pray for the sermon that y'all has placed upon my heart. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, this morning. What a time of rejoicing it is, Lord, that you have done so much for us. I can remember years ago, Lord, standing here right in this very same spot that I'm at now, in gravel, and thanking you for what you would do. Lord, you've been so good to us. You've been so faithful. And we want to be faithful back to you. I pray that you would bless our service in ministry of the word. And that you would use me to bring it, Lord. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have been in a series that I've been teaching called Fruit Inspection. And I want to continue in that today. How many of you have been inspecting your fruit as we've been going over these? See whether your fruit is good, bad, or does your fruit have worms in it? So go with me again as we start in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Somebody bring me a bottle of water, please. I get that out of my throat. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 is where I want to start. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, there is no lying with God's word, is there? God's very clear on this. He doesn't change. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So this morning, we are going to cover the third one down in the list. We're going to be talking about the fruit of peace in our lives. So we have inspected before the fruit of love and joy last week. Hopefully you learned a little something last week. We're going to learn about peace here this morning. All right, here we go. Peace. We hear that word a lot in the Scriptures. Some of us have used that before. When we say in our homes, how many of you have ever said to your kids, just give me a little peace and quiet? Or you said that maybe to your husband or your wife, just give me a little peace and quiet. Well, what are we saying here? What is peace? Well, that word there is a Greek word, and it's pronounced irene. It could almost be Irene. But the meaning of that word is really a wholeness in life. I'm going to give you, in all of life's dimensions, the word peace means that I have a wholeness. And it's going to include some of these definitions, and I like these because a lot of times we don't associate these words with what they actually mean. So, the very first definition of this word here, of peace, means tranquility, safety, well-being, health, contentment, success, comfort, integrity, and when we sum it all up, it's being in harmony with God and His laws. Now that's covered a lot. We're going to break it down. Summing it all up, actually, this word translates over to a word that most of us have heard. It is a Hebrew word, and it's called shalom. Anybody ever heard that word before? So yeah, the Hebrew word shalom is peace. And so we're going to break this down today, and I've given you a list of things of what that word means, but I'm only going to pick out three of these because I know that many of you are waiting to get to the dinner in the back. Someone said to me, Pastor, it's not going to be a long sermon, is it? We have an oven back there. It'll keep things warm and crock pots. But I want to look at this. Ultimately, what peace means is it's a sense of inner rest. You have a rest inside of you, a harmony, and that only comes from knowing Jesus Christ. If you do not know Jesus, you do not have peace. Now, and I've shared this a lot on Wednesday nights, the Apostle Paul, when he's writing a lot of his letters, he writes, grace and peace be unto you from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not by accident that he says that. In other words, we have the grace of God. That's the joy that we talked about last time. But then he goes on to say he wants peace for us. He wants us to be in complete harmony with God. He wants us to be that inner being of us having a rest. How many of us have ever struggled inside with something? And when we're struggling with that, how many of us have a hard time sleeping at night? Yeah, or concentrating on anything that is going on in our lives because we have that thing within us that is causing turmoil. There's so many today, and I say this with a heart of grief, that are in our school systems, young people that are committing suicide. We have, of course, older folks that are committing suicide, but the reason they have no peace within, there is such a struggle that is going on within them, and they're not sure why they're here, what the world is all about. Jesus promises that when we know Him, when we have a relationship with Him, He will give us this inner peace. This inner harmony. So it all begins with knowing Christ and Him knowing you. Would you turn with me over to the book of Ephesians right now? And the Apostle Paul talked about this as he summed this up. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that you being in times past Gentiles, meaning you are away from God in the flesh, were called the uncircumcision, that at that time you were out of Christ, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants and the promises, having no hope and without God in the world. Listen. Without knowing Christ, do you have a hope? Do you have a peace? There's no way that you can have that inner peace without knowing who the Lord is. Listen to this. For He is our peace, verse 14, who has broken down that wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity and the law of commandments ordained in ordinances, for to make in himself twain one new man, that he might reconcile both to God, having slain that enmity thereby, and he came and preached peace to you which are afar off, and to them that are nigh. And through him we have both access by one Spirit unto the Father. Aren't you glad this morning? Those of you that have given your lives to Christ, if you have not, this morning is a great time to do that very thing, to give your heart to Christ and ask Him to come in and to give you that peace that is only from Him. So I'll tell you that it comes no other way. Now, some people can say, well, I have peace. I can sit in my quiet space and I can listen to my music. I don't need Jesus. But how long does that peace last? Not very long. When the music is done, the peace is over. When whatever it is that you choose to give you what you call peace is over when it's done. But I can tell you that this relationship with Lord Jesus Christ will give you that peace as you walk every day of your life, no matter what is going on. One amen back there, yeah. Now, we're going to move on from here. And this is where we're going to get into inspecting the fruit of peace. Do you have peace in your life? I'm going to pick out three of these things that I just talked to you about earlier and what peace means. Number one, I want to deal with tranquility. And I want to talk about, do you have tranquility in your life? Okay, Pastor, what does tranquility mean? Here's what the definition is according to Webster's, a state of being calm and free of worry. Uh-oh. I thought I had peace. But how many of us are worriers? Come on now. Is our life characterized by always being on the edge or being on edge about what's going to happen next? How many of you planners out there, you like to know everything? You want to know what's going on next. You're very uncomfortable to just wing it. Anybody in the house like that? You need a plan. You need a course of action. You need an explanation. How many of you, just by chance, when you get those things called EOBs, explanation of benefits, in the mail, do you read those? Anybody? Oh, there's one right there. There's another one right there and another one in the back. You guys are the ones I'm talking about. How many of you just get them in the mail and throw them in the trash? Come on now. Yeah? Yeah? So, tranquility means in our lives there is an inner sense that God has got it all under control. See, we're not on edge about what will happen tomorrow. See, if all we are doing is worrying about tomorrow, there's no peace. There's no tranquility. That fruit needs to be inspected because it's got some worms in it. See, and we hear it in church and we read these types of scripture. For an example, let's go read one of those scriptures in Matthew chapter 6. We have heard it probably about 135 times being in church. Now, Landon's been in church since he was 4 years old here, right? Probably heard this at least 30 or 40 times. It goes something like this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they don't sow, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them through all of you that put bird feeders out. No, it doesn't say that. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought or worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? And why do you take thought for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or how shall we be clothed? For after all these things, to the Gentiles that are away from God seek after. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. How many of you have heard this passage before? And yet, we still worry. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. My plan's not working out. Whose plan is it? Is it your plan or is it God's plan? According to what we just read here, it's God's plan. Take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. Now, that doesn't mean that the Lord is saying just wing it on everything. Because he also talks to us about being good stewards. And making some plans that have to do with what perhaps is coming up. But how many of us get caught up into the what ifs? What ifs? And all those that are worries out there, you always can tell because they're always making plan A, B, C, D, E, and F. What if all of these fail and then I'm going to come down? Finally, I'll have a plan. Why don't we just trust God here? See, tranquility in that inner knowing that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. See, therefore we don't have to be concerned about what is going to happen tomorrow. Am I going to be okay? Because the fruit of peace tells me I am going to be okay. I am going to be okay. Those that worry say, I don't know whether I'm going to be able to handle this or not. You ever found yourself saying that? I don't know whether I'm going to be able to handle it. Find someone else, God, because I can't handle this. How many of you ever said that? I can't handle this. What about that scripture that says, I can? I can. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Again, the Apostle Paul in verse 6 is where we're going to start. Now, the King James says, be careful for nothing, but the word actually means stop worrying. How many of us are worried about how am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to pay this? How am I going to pay that? I might pay that. My God shall supply. My God shall supply. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want you to know that this is something many of us like to use this, and the peace of God will pass all my understanding. But it is hinged on that verse just above that, be careful or worry about nothing. How many of us, we use that word with our loved ones, our kids, our grandkids, and we say, I'm worried about them. Anybody ever say that? Don't worry about anything. Now you can say, I am concerned for them, and I'm so much concerned that I am going to the Lord in prayer for them. I am trusting God as I pray. I'm going to leave it in His hands. But how many of us take it to His hands and we say we're leaving it there? And just before we get up off of our knees or out of prayer, we say, thank you, Lord, I'll take that back. I want to worry about it. Some of us, we don't know how to live life unless we worry about something. That's not peace. Amen? It's not peace. Number two, part of peace is contentment. Contentment means that I'm satisfied with my life situation and how things are currently arranged. I'm satisfied with where I'm at right now in my life and how things are going. See, if we are in an uproar in our lives, there's no peace there. Especially if we're not content with where God has us at. And I know Pastor Aaron has preached about this and preached a real good sermon about being content with such things as you have. Are you constantly complaining about the way things are? Do we find ourselves, I don't like my job. I'm complaining about my job. Do we have any complainers in the house? Nobody's raising their hand right now. Thank you. Thank you. 2 o'clock Tuesday afternoon in my office, okay? He says, sorry, I'm in school. Yeah. That complaining part of us is stealing away peace. Because we are complaining about the way things are. Maybe in our jobs, maybe in our marriages, or in life in general. Do you know how many complaints I hear? And they don't know perhaps that I'm listening or you're listening. Husbands complaining about their wives to others. Wives complaining about their husbands to others. And that's overheard. There is no contentment. And this is a part of the fruit that should be in a believer of Jesus Christ. We should have contentment. That's part of peace. Knowing that God has placed us exactly where He wants us at. Some of us complain about the families that we are in. We complain about our brothers, our sisters. We complain about whatever it is to complain about. Now, I love my family dearly, but I can tell you that my grandmother, I can remember this just like it was yesterday. This was in Lowellboro, Pennsylvania, where we lived. And my grandmother came to visit. And Rick, I don't know whether you remember this, but we went to a Golden Corral. That's how old they are. Some of them are still around. But it had just opened up in our city. And Grandma came to visit, and we were there. And the entire time, my grandma complained about every single thing that she got on her plate. This isn't the way that I would make it. This is terrible. This is it. This. How many complainers do we have about food in restaurants? Oh, Pastor, get on from this one right now. See, that's a part of complaining. And I'll never forget that. That stuck in my head. Because for me, it was the greatest thing since sliced bread to have all of that food there in front of me. And when I was younger, I could eat a lot of food. Caleb, it was nothing for me to go back and get 6 plates at the bar, the food bar. I've cut back to 3 now. Yeah. No. But I'm telling you, without that contentment of what God has given you, there's no peace. If you're constantly complaining, that's how you can inspect that fruit. What is the world saying about who you are when they hear you complaining? Well, I don't like my boss. I don't like my job. I don't like my teacher. They do this. They do that. Is that contentment, folks? I don't think so. I want us to think about this deeply. This is inspecting it. How many of us pray before our meal at a restaurant? And what do we pray? That the Lord would bless the food. And Lord, we thank you for this food. And as soon as our dish comes and we don't like it, we start complaining about it. Philip says we didn't pray hard enough. Oh, Lord, thank you for this food. Oh, we love you, Lord. Get my food. Waiter, come here. This is awful. Come on now. You may not care for it, but look at what you have been blessed with. Look at what we've been blessed with. The food that the Lord has provided. Hebrews chapter 13. How many of you enjoy in this series so far? Yeah. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Does your version say in verse 5, and be content with such things as you have? Does yours say that? Do we have any reason to complain? Because if you want to know what complaining will get you, just look at the children of Israel. Complain, complain, complain. This is not good enough. That's not good enough. I wish I had more. I wish this wasn't this way. I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish. Instead of, Lord, thank you for where I'm at. Thank you for what you have done for me. Thank you. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 right now, 11. The Apostle Paul, this was the way his take was on life. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. For I know how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do some things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things. In other words, he was saying, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And I do have to say this. I said, Lord, I quote that verse and I believe on that verse. I stand on that verse when I was young. And then in 1989, I moved to Mississippi. And the Lord, I took that verse out of context. I did. Whatever state I was in to be content, I was not content. And the Lord kept me there 3 years until I figured it out. To be content with where He has put me at. Jump back in chapter 2 now of Philippians. 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, whom you are to shine as lights in this world. What are you showing the world? Are you content? Or are you complaining? What does your family say about you? They're the closest ones to you. What do they say? Oh, she complains about everything. Not happy with anything. Let me tell you something. That is not a good witness. I have one more. Can you stand one more? The third one that I want to pick out is something called integrity. That is part of peace in our lives. Integrity. Here's what that means. The quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. These are principles you live by and being trustworthy. Now, some of us have never associated integrity with peace. Why is integrity in this list? Because remember, it is in harmony with God and who He is. Would you say that God has integrity? And integrity at its core is that you are trustworthy of whatever you say you will do, you will do. How many of you have ever had someone promise you that they were going to show up and they didn't? Anybody? Oh, I'll be there. And it's one of the saddest things to me as a pastor. Do you know how many people have told me, I'll be there, I'm coming to church. Pastor, I will be there. If you'll just do this for me, I will show up. I'll be there. You know, when people come by the church here and they want money, or they call, if you'll just help me out with this thing, then I will be there. I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do. I'll show up Sunday morning. You'll see, I'll be there. They're not here. It's called integrity. It's the heart of God. Does God do what He says He's going to do? Yes. Always does. Always will. And He's looking towards us to do the same thing. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. I think I gave that one to you, brother. This word in the King James, he that walketh uprightly, means he that walks in integrity. The one that walks in integrity will walk sure, firm-footed. But the one that does not, it's the opposite there. A man or woman of integrity will be known amongst their peers. Do you do what you say you're going to do? If you say you are going to be somewhere, that fruit should show up. Or you should call and say what? Truly, if you're sick or whatever, something has come up, you say, I called. But what they call it in the business world, in the restaurant world, is a no call, no show. No call, no show. And unfortunately, in the world that we live in today, that is so prevalent. And God says it should never be with the child of God. Should never be, folks. Okay? Do people say that we're honest? What do they say about us? Or how about, have you ever heard this one? Yeah, you know, I like that guy. I like Caleb. But man, I got to keep my eye on him. You shouldn't be shaking your head, okay? I love these guys. They grew up here. And it's a wonder he keeps coming back. But if we have to keep our eye on somebody to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, is that a person of integrity? Do people have to keep an eye on you? Or do you have the character about you that says they're going to do their job? I know they are, so I don't have to watch them. I don't have to keep an eye on them. I love this, and this is actually back in the book of Job. And oftentimes we don't use what portions are in the book of Job, but some of these are really good. Job chapter 27. Now, if you remember back, why did God choose Job to let the devil pick on him? Because he had a heart for God. And when Job's friends were saying all kinds of things about him, look at what he says in Job 27. Moreover, Job continued his parable saying, as God lives, who has taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who has vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. Wow. My righteousness I hold fast, and I will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. God chose Job because Job was a man of integrity. Are we? Integrity is harmony with God and peace inside of us. I'm big on integrity. I'm big on if you say you're going to do something, I expect as a believer, as a part of the body of Christ, you're going to do it. You're not just going to give me lip service. Say, yeah, Pastor, I'll be there. I'll do that. And I want you to expect the same from your pastor. If he tells you he's going to be there, he's going to do it, expect that. That's integrity. And it's part of peace. I want to leave us with this one verse. John chapter 14, verse 27. Many of you have heard this. Jesus, before leaving this world, what does he tell us? Peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you, but my peace I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, and don't let it be afraid. Because what I said I will do, I'll do. Because Jesus said, I have integrity, and I'm leaving my peace. I'm leaving that with you. Now, you go into the world and show the world what peace is. It's harmony with God. I am content. I have no worries about me. And I'm a man or woman of integrity. Will we be that for God? That's fruit, the fruit of peace. Amen? Father, thank you for your word. Lord, and let that word just again speak to our hearts. that we would leave this place with the peace, the fruit of the Spirit of peace. And Father, I'm going to ask that those that have heard this message, that in any way, in any portion, have been convicted, Lord, that you would draw them closer to you. And Lord, let the power of God, let this fruit of peace just grow in them. It will give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.